Today's scripture reading comes from Philippians 2, verses 1 through 8. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. You know, as you're praying for Quentin, maybe you also say a prayer for the farm, that it runs as a well-oiled machine and nothing breaks or anything while he's gone. I'm sure the whole Cook family would appreciate that. Well, good morning, church. Have you adjusted yet to winter deciding to show up in Michigan and sticking around for a little bit? I prefer that if it's going to get cold, that it stay cold. I'd rather it not get cold, but if it's going to get cold, I don't like the ups and downs. So I've appreciated that part a little. And hopefully everybody got from the parking lot in here without, you know, any falls or anything. I know it's a little slippery out there. But what a great thing to be together in the warmth of family. And so we got this video, and I'm glad they reminded me because I forgot about the video. And so as we're thinking about winter and as we're thinking about this new series that we're starting, let's watch the video. So we're starting this new series called Fact or Friction. And I think you'll find it pretty interesting as we're going through this series. And kind of what we're looking at is stress happens in life. And it happens a lot in our relationships. And because of this stress, because of the challenges in life, it can generate some friction in our life. And it can get difficult when this friction starts to come about to know what is most important in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our finances, even within ourselves. And so God really wants us to know the truth about what is happening in our relationships so we can overcome obstacles in our life. But to do that, we really need God to do a work in us. And so that's what we're going to kind of look at over the next 3 or 4 weeks. And so let me just start this sermon today with some prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray in this moment that you would just come down, that you would help us to focus in on what you have for us. Father, may my mind function the way it's supposed to, and may you bring peace now in my emotions, and so I can just relax in what you have for us this morning. And Father, I know as we think about relationships, it can be really difficult to have healthy relationships when We don't understand the truth of what is happening inside of those when things get tense. And so, God, would you be able to just give us that truth? Help us to understand what it is that's going on in those moments of friction. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, friction is the resistance that one surface has with another when it's moving against each other, right? And so if you think about it, if you've ever tried to push something heavy across the floor, you felt that resistance, that's friction. Or if you've ever lit a match, you know, the act of lighting that match against that box, that is friction. And so you've done that. And so I want us to try to do something. And it's going to be hard for me to demonstrate because I got this microphone instead of my wireless mic. But what I want everyone to do is if you can put your hands together like this, and just start rubbing them really fast. I was going to demonstrate it to two, but I just can't hold the microphone. Now, faster, right? Okay, you just do it soft. This isn't going to work, all right? And so if you're doing it hard, can you start to feel that resistance? Okay, can you start to feel that heat? The faster you rub, the more that gets it. You know, that is friction. Okay, you can stop. Okay, and that's friction. And so as we get this understanding of what this resistance is against us, this is what we're talking about today, this friction that can happen in relationships. And so maybe, you know, I think we're going to look at today the place that we see friction more than any other place in our lives, and that's in our family. In fact, you might have even felt some friction before you got here this morning in your family as you came and tried to get everyone ready and get here on time, and the challenge that is as a family, that friction. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. And so as we think about this, if you're a mother in this room, I want you to think back the very last time that you felt stress in your family, where it was just really, really stressful and tensions were really high. Can you think of the last moment that happened in your life, and how did that make you feel about your kids or grandkids, or how did that make you feel about your spouse? And if you're a father in the room, I want you to think back to the last time you felt pulled in too many directions. Everybody wanted you to do something, and everyone was demanding, and you were getting frustrated. Can you remember that last time that happened and how that made you feel, maybe towards your kids or maybe towards your wife? And if you're a single parent here, you know, that it's even more heightened as you're trying to handle these friction moments in your life. Or if you're, you know, a younger person, and when's, you know, the last time that you felt that at school when things were just tense, or the last time you're in a home, and how did that make you feel towards your siblings, or how did it make you feel towards your parents, that friction? You see, life has a way of throwing so many curveballs and unexpected circumstances at us, so that we struggle to really keep things running smoothly in the home, amongst the relationships we have there. And the reason that is all true is because as humans, we have this tendency to want to protect ourselves when we begin to think that we feel that things are getting out of control. You know, whenever we sense this to be the case, we often begin to turn inward in those moments of friction. We begin to look out for ourselves rather than taking care of others. And this brings us to the first point. See, when we have these moments of friction, when we put ourselves first, everyone else becomes last. When we choose to put ourselves first, everyone else ends up becoming last. God designed the family to be this support system that would just come and help rally around us when we are navigating the challenges in life. In this ideal world, as things get more difficult, as we have more friction in life, as bad days come, the family is designed to rally around each other to offer care and concern. Unfortunately, in this broken world that we find ourselves, when we face difficult challenges, our response often is quite the opposite of what God designed for our family to be. Because see, the most important person in the world in those circumstances becomes us. And we look to calm our nerves in the moments of stress. We look to soothe our pain. We look to meet our needs. And therefore, whether we're a mom or a dad or a husband, a wife, a friend or child, the decision to put ourselves first means that everyone else gets placed last. And we begin to ignore other people's needs. We disregard their pain. We can't see from their perspective. And this is the birthplace of friction in the home. Grace turns us outward, but sin, selfishness, turns us inward. And so we just heard Quentin read the full passage from Philippians chapter 2, the first 8 verses. And so I want to just kind of break these verses down a few at a time. We're just going to start with Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, "Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves." So Paul instructs us to practice humility and raise the significance of others around us. It's about who's going to get the first priority. It's about who is going to get the attention. It's about who is going to be first in line. And naturally, we want it to be us. But supernaturally, it must become others. So Paul instructs us to practice humility then in these circumstances. So I want you to just use your imagination right now as we kind of set ourselves for this next part. Imagine that you're at a grocery store. Maybe it's Costco or some other store that has long lines, and you're in one of the long lines waiting to be, you know, checked out. Okay, and this is a really long line. Maybe you decided to go to Costco the day before Christmas. Probably not the best choice. And so you get in a line that's wrapping around the whole entire store, and you've been waiting forever to finally get to check out and go home. And you're finally to the place where it's your turn. You're next. You're supposed to go next to the register, and someone else totally ignores the whole line and just shoots in and takes your place and gets in front of you, okay? Can you imagine? I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but can you sense the tension in yourself in this circumstance? Have you used your imagination well enough to place yourself there that you're starting to form the words that you'd like to say, but you know it probably wouldn't be Christ-like if you said it, okay? And so have you got this picture in your mind? And so this emotionally is what it's like when we begin to allow ourselves to become the highest priority in the family, and we want to cut in line and be first. This me-first attitude tends to be the root cause of much of the grind and friction that we feel with members of our own family. Because see, when we put ourselves first, everyone else becomes last. But friction cannot last forever. Okay, we were never designed to be able to withstand relational friction over an extended period of time. You know, just like brakes in a car, they wear down over time, they've got to be replaced. Just like knives, when you use them, they eventually become dull, and they've got to be sharpened. If we allow friction to exist within our families for too long, it can wear out our trust, care, and love for each other. It can literally break a family if friction is not dealt with inside the family. And so this wear shows up in what we believe about one another, in our relationships, okay? You know, before there was any friction, if you could think back to when you were first married, newlyweds, or when the kids were just babies and toddlers, everybody in the family structure probably believed the best about each other. The assumption was, to give the benefit of a doubt, if there was a little bit of friction here or there, but when brief issues of friction become more commonplace and it becomes more hurtful, we begin to believe some lies about each other. So when we're stressed, we translate things that are said to us to be personal, even if they weren't meant to be. And we find ourselves in this difficult season, and we begin to interpret every action from our family members as something that's an act of aggression towards us. And when we face struggle, our perspective can really become clouded. We can begin to believe the worst about one another. Rather than believing the best, we begin to believe some lies. And we start to really interpret things all wrong because of all this friction, and it starts to get worse, and it can kind of build. And so if we don't want that to happen, then we have to intentionally choose to respond the way Jesus would in relationships, especially during these times of tense friction. So looking in Philippians, as we are doing right now, Paul writes his most extensive and clear passage about Jesus' attitude and mentality in terms of relationships with others. So Jesus is lifted up as the example for how we're to treat one another. So let me just read these first five verses of Philippians one more time as we try to get this sunk into our hearts. And so again, Paul says, is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? You know, hopefully the answer is, of course. Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? And so if you've received some benefit from being a believer in Jesus Christ, then Paul says, then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other. Be in unity. Don't fight against each other. So he says, we're to love one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Verse 3, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. And then verse 5, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. So Paul is lifting up a pretty high standard here of how to interact with each other. And here he's kind of talking about the church, but we can take this also in the context of a family. Paul says that if we belong to Christ, if we consider ourselves to be followers of Jesus, then we need to have the same attitude that Jesus had. Now, if you look at the Greek words in this phrase, it holds within themselves this idea that we should have a perfectly tuned up internal perspective that, you know, kind of like a car engine that has just been maintained to run at its peak performance. Okay, so this tuned up eternal perspective then would show itself to be so in our outward behavior, in our outward things that we do. Therefore, our unity with Christ would cause us in our inner thoughts and our attitudes, as well as our outward actions, to treat each other with love no matter what is going on, no matter what the friction issue is of that moment. Okay? And so that is a really big goal. That is a really high standard that Paul is saying we need to seek after. And so the Spirit of God mentioned in verses 1 and 2 is the thing that gives us this perfectly tuned up internal perspective. We really can't muster this on our own. We really can't just will ourselves in moments of friction to say the right things and do the right things. It's got to be something that God is doing a work inside of us. So this external appearance of this internal state of being tuned up by the Holy Spirit, is humility. That's what should come out of this experience that we've had with God. The Spirit of God helps us to choose to put others' interests above our own. And it's not so hard to do that when things are going great. But when there's friction, and maybe you perceive the other person to be the one totally for fault of that friction, it is tough to put someone else above yourself in those moments. And so we need the Holy Spirit's help. So when we begin to notice that the friction level is rising in the family, we'll begin to notice things are heating up in that moment. When we sense that we're being tempted to protect ourselves by putting ourselves first and others last, then Paul is saying we need to choose to have the same mindset as Jesus as our example, and focus on others in that moment. We have to develop a habit of pausing in the middle of stress, in the middle of inner turmoil, to realize, okay, I'm at the boiling point right now. And instead of doing what my sinful nature was screaming at me to do in this moment, to say or to act upon, I need to then take that moment to choose to handle this the way Jesus would. All right, well, if we're going to do that, what is his mindset? What's Jesus' mindset? What is the thing that regulated his life? Paul tells us that in verse 6 and 7. It says, though he was God, talking about Jesus, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. In order for friction within our families to get to a much healthier place, for us to have smoother relationships, we need to start developing that mindset of Jesus. Jesus gave up his power and his rights, and he laid that down in order that he could serve others. In order for us, the friction within our families, to get healthier and smoother, we got to do that same thing. So when we put ourselves first, everyone else becomes last. But friction cannot last forever, so use your strength to serve. When these stress levels rise in the home, rather than looking for an angle where you might be able to exert some power and control over others, we must instead be willing to lay those things down in order to serve our family. And as a father, I know the temptation I've had in the past to want to use my strength and power over my kids, maybe in inappropriate ways, when emotions are heightened. And I've had to learn to take that deep breath and choose not to do that. Instead, I need to be willing to serve my kids, even when they didn't deserve it. Even when things had been said that shouldn't have been said, even when tempers were hot, by laying down my rights as their dad the way Jesus did. Now, that doesn't mean we don't discipline, but it means the way that we discipline is in love. It's in service. It's in looking out for the other person and not making ourselves feel better in that moment. So I read a story about a father needing to do this very thing for his son. And this father said that during the COVID lockdown, he found himself being pushed to the edge by his 9-year-old son. Now, I'm sure nobody in here ever been pushed to the edge by your kids, but this father was there, and so this is what he writes about. He said his son had refused to listen to any instruction from either of his parents from the time he opened his eyes that day throughout the whole rest of that day. And at the same time that this is going on with his son, the stress for him of working during a pandemic and the stress that they had just moved from one house to another had this father's nerves shot. So when his son continued to push long into the evening, the father said he felt his blood begin to boil. He wanted to lash out in anger and say things he would have later regretted. He wanted to take away any privilege his son had ever had to make his life miserable. However, that night, this father felt the Spirit of God speak to his heart. And the Spirit of God told him that he needed to lie down in the bed with his son and just hold him. And the father said that was the very last thing he felt like doing. But it ended up being the very thing he needed to do, so that's what he did. He laid down on the bed next to his son, and he listened to his son and found out that that day had been particularly hard for his son, too. Because his son was missing his friends since school was virtual, and he was tired of not being able to play sports, and he was sad because they had to cancel their vacation. And the truth is that this father needed to listen to his son, even though he was tempted to use his position as dad in a way that would have really harmed his son in the process. And so Jesus' example in the scriptures is a laying down of heaven and all that came with that to come to earth. He comes and walks among broken and sinful people, and he loves them. And he serves them by washing their dirty feet with dirt that was dirt that he had created himself. No matter how difficult it is, we need to learn to do that as well, as being servants of our family, making a conscious choice to serve one another, even in tense moments. Jesus' love for others caused him not just to lay down his power and position, it also led him to be incredibly sacrificial. The next verse in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 says, when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and died a criminal death on a cross. You know, ultimately, Jesus gave up his life for you and me. He died a criminal death on a cross that really was meant for us, in order that we might experience new life, real life, eternal life. So when we put others first, everyone else becomes last. But friction can't last forever, so we need to use our strength to serve. And when we do that, love looks like sacrifice. When families face trying times, each person in the family must make one of two choices. We have a choice: either we're going to be selfish or we're going to be selfless. Selfishness, that's the easier choice, because selflessness often costs something. The selfless attitude of Jesus led him to offer up his life for the world. While the world was yet sinful, while the world didn't deserve it at all, and this is what it looks like. It is sacrificial in nature. If we're going to see friction in our families ease, then you're going to have to start there. You're going to have to forgive when you don't want to, and be honest in circumstances when maybe you don't need to be. You're going to have to say no to some things so that in order that you have the time to be able to spend with someone in your family who really needs your presence. You're going to have to be forgiving to your spouse even when they don't deserve it, or even when they haven't asked for it yet. You're going to have to be obedient to your parents even when you don't feel like it in that moment. You're going to have to be patient with your child even when you're pushed to the brink of just losing it all. So the truth is that living as a family is a sacrifice. It's not always, but in moments of stress, moments of friction, it just simply comes with the territory. There's no way around it for your family to be healthy. Whether it's doing something with your spouse that you find completely boring, but they really enjoy doing it, or it's changing diapers, or helping with homework, or as kids obeying your curfew, or sticking by someone who's sick, families learn to bend toward one another. And this is how a family can make it through rough patches and come out the other side healthier than they were before. And that's with the choice of sacrifice. So when we put ourselves first, everyone else ends up becoming last. But friction can't last forever, so we need to use our strength to serve. And when we serve, love looks like sacrifice. And here's the last part. The family that prays together stays together. Prayer for your family, it should be your first response and not the last resort. So as life gets harder, the family should pray harder. As life becomes difficult, prayer should become more specific. The author of the book of Romans knows about the value of the Spirit of God in our lives, especially during these times, when he writes in chapter 8, verse 26, "And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words." Have you ever experienced this in your own life? When things in the family have gotten so difficult that we don't even know what to pray. When you open your heart up to God, but there's just no words. The challenge is too big. The problems are too complicated. The stress is just too high. The solutions seem totally impossible. You know, when you don't know what to say to God, when words are just failing you, lean on the Spirit of God within you to help you navigate that moment of stress, that moment of friction. And there'll be times when you'll actually sense this groan deep in your soul where you're communicating with the Holy Spirit and you just don't have words. And so it's more of a groan, and the Holy Spirit interprets those words. And we have this promise from the Bible that He'll take them to God and He'll be that intercessor for you. We can trust that God hears our prayers even when we don't have the words to say, and He will act on our behalf. Trust that God offers us hope in the middle of these frictional, challenging times. This is a fact that can ease the friction. Let's pray. God, as we just take a moment and consider our family, whether we're talking about our family that lives at home or our extended family, whether it's kids that have their own families now and grandkids, maybe even our brothers and sisters, our siblings that have their own families. Father, as we think about friction and the things that make families difficult during those times, God, may we rest in the power of the Spirit when the sinful nature wants to take control. May we have a groove so deep in our life with You, God, that when we're tempted to say the thing that we know would be destructive, that we have that internal pause to just breathe a prayer and ask for wisdom of what to say, of how to respond. Where we just have this internal part of us that we have taught ourselves to have that question, God, what do I do in this moment? How can I ease the tension? How can I ease the friction right now? When my emotions are all wound up and all I can think of is the worst, God, give me the words. Help me understand the next step. Oh, may we all learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to so tune our inner thoughts and attitudes up that the outward action becomes Christ-like. And God, we know this is not something that we ever get perfect at. There are times when we stumble. There are times when we do the wrong thing, we say the wrong thing. There are times when we're tired and we don't take the time to talk to You first, when we just operate out of a bad place. Help us to work through the restoration process when that is what happens. Help us to ask for forgiveness when we need to ask for forgiveness. Help us to restore the healthy relationships, to not allow friction to be a normal part of our family. Help us to fight for a God-like environment in our home. Whether it's our kids that live with us or our kids that have moved away, or maybe it's even our grandkids. May we fight for good relationships in our families. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.